The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 8, Text Number 38. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on June 8, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ke vayam nama rupabhyam yadubhi saha pandava bhavata darshanam yahi rishikanam rishikanam eva ishitu Kevayang nama rupabhyam Yadubhi saha pandava Bhavato darshanam yahi Rishikanam viveshitu Kevayang nama rupabhyam Yadubhi saha pandava Bhavato darshanam yahi Rishikanam viveshitu Ke who are Vayam we Namarupabhyam without fame and ability Yadubi with the Yadus Saha along with Pandava and the Pandavas Bhavata your Adarshanam absence Yahi as if the Shikanam of the senses Eva like Ishitu of the living being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of a living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. Purport. Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame, and are guided by the great King Yudhishthira, who is morality personified, and the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies, but without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities. As much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power, and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord Himself. We may therefore invent by our advancement of material knowledge all sorts of counteracting material resources, but without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatat Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakanvitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. You can be a very, very big, big materialistic person with all kinds of name, fame, and prestige. But if you're not Krishna conscious, what is the use? Just like we all know the story, you know the story of that little mouse? Everyone knows the story of the little mouse, yes? You know that story of the little mouse? Every time he came out of his mouse hole to get something to eat, there was a big cat ready to pounce on him. So he was getting kind of hungry in his mouse hole. He couldn't come out for a meal because every time he came out, the cat wanted to make him her meal, you see. So one day the cat was asleep, and that little mouse, he made a mad dash for the hut of the yogi, the village yogi. He said, "My dear yogi, every time I come out of my hole, the cat wants to eat me. I'm starving to death in my mouse hole. What can I do?" "Well, I can make you a cat, if you like." "All right, yes, make me a cat." Poof, now you're a cat. Meow. See? Now I have no problem. The cat won't bother me. I can go around and have a great time in the village. You see? But then one dog comes, ruff, ruff, ruff. You see? And he chases the cat up the tree. You see? What to do? Now the dogs are after me. As soon as the dog goes away, immediately back to the hut of the yogi. "My dear yogi, now the dog is bothering. What to do?" "Well, I can make you a dog." "All right, dog." Boom. Ah, dog, you see. Now I have no problem. The cat won't bother me. The dog won't bother me. I have it made. But then one Bengali tiger comes prowling into the village looking for something to eat. Immediately he runs back to the yogi's hut. "There's a tiger, what to do? A tiger." "Well, I can make you a tiger if you like." "Yes, make me a tiger." Boom, tiger. So now he's a tiger. He's sitting there in the hut with a nice, plump-looking yogi. And you know, the tiger, he doesn't have to bother going down to the grocery store and buying the, standing in line, taking it home, cooking it. He just jumps and eats, you see. But there's one difficulty the tiger has, because whenever he goes out on his lunch break, there's a little bird in the jungle that goes, phew, phew, phew. He warns all the animals, the tiger is on his lunch break. Everybody head for the hills, you see. So every time he goes for his lunch, there's no lunch. The lunch is gone, the forest is empty. Except for some little bird up there that he can't reach. But now, he's sitting in the hut with a nice plump-looking yogi. So the tiger gets this look in his eyes, you see. And the yogi, he is no dummy. He says, "Oh, you want to eat me?" The tiger says, "Yes." And he says, Punar Musika Bhava, again you become a mouse. So now he's a mouse again, back in the same trouble with the cat, trying to get his meals, you see. So this tiger-like civilization, by dint of previous pious activities, they become very, very big, powerful material civilization with their jet, with their fighter bombs, their nuclear, their fighter jets, their nuclear bombs, their tanks, their machine guns, all kinds of weaponry, and they have, you see. But because they want to deny the Supreme, they want to ignore the Supreme, Punar Musika Bhava, their civilization will be finished. Is it? Be finished. Today or tomorrow it will be finished. So we should learn some lesson from this. Is it? We should learn from Queen Kunti Devi not to become carried away by some name and fame, power and prestige. She says, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities will end at once. So we want that merciful glance of Krishna. We want Krishna to bless us with his merciful glance. That's all. Instead of becoming dear to Obama, President Obama in the U.S., you see, or dear to your Prime Minister here in Mauritius, we want to become dear to Krishna. Krishna Priya, you see. We want to become dear to Krishna. We want to please Krishna. So how do you please Krishna? You please Krishna's devotee who represents Krishna. Krishna is more pleased when you please his devotee than when you please him directly. If you try to please him directly, ignoring his devotee, what will he say? Ye me bhakta jana partha na me bhaksastate janaham. You're my devotee? You're not my devotee. If you say you're my devotee, I say you're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. You see? So you want to be recognized by Krishna, then you become the devotee of the devotee of Krishna. Therefore, guru is required, therefore, Vaishnava is required, you see. More you become dasa, dasa, nidasa, 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 nidasa. You become recognized by Krishna. Therefore, this movement, Hare Krishna movement, is very important because there are so many devotees here. So now I must become devoted to every single devotee, you see. Not just my guru and let everyone else go to hell. No. I must be devoted to every devotee, you see. The more you become devoted to the devotees, that is how you become recognized by Krishna. Unless you're recognized by Krishna, what is the use of your big title, your big position? It is Sama Evi Kevalam. But I'm a GBC, I'm a guru, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a temple president, I'm a regional secretary. But if you're not the devotee of the devotees, you're not recognized by Krishna. So we must try to become the devotee of the devotees. Thank you, Baba. That's how I'll become happy. So there's some questions. I see blank papers only. Prabhupada says here, the living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord Himself. In other words, you can't really depend on anyone or anything except for Krishna. Anyone else can let you down. Krishna is the only one you can fully depend on. My government may let me down. My friends may let me down. But Krishna will never let you down. Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees, you see. They will never let you down. So in this way we have to understand where I should focus my loving devotion, in Krishna and in those who are fully devoted to Krishna, especially. That's where my loving devotion should be centered, focused. Of course, we give our love to everyone. That is the mercy of a Vaishnava. But his sustenance, his foundation, is that loving relationship with Krishna and those who are purely serving Krishna. That is the foundation of his ability to give love to all. Because he has cultivated very carefully a loving relationship with Krishna and with those who are purely serving Krishna. Prabhupada's statement is very powerful here. He says the Yadus are undoubtedly the here Kunti, the Pandavas, they are non-entities without the guidance of consciousness. That's an interesting statement. But instead of saying without the guidance of Krishna, Prabhupada says without the guidance of consciousness. Why is that term used, consciousness? I don't recall Prabhupada ever saying like this. It's a very unique purport. Without the guidance of consciousness. This reminds me of one thing he said, that first become conscious and then become Krishna conscious. In other words, our normal state is unconsciousness. Normally we're unconscious. We're just completely lost in a state of unconsciousness. So, in this context, consciousness means Krishna consciousness. If you're not Krishna conscious, you're not conscious. You see? You're not really aware of what's going on. Someone who is not Krishna conscious, he's not conscious. You understand my point? He's living in a dream. He's living in a stupor. He's living in a cloud of illusion if he's not Krishna conscious. So be conscious. If you're actually conscious of what's going on around you, then you must come to the conclusion of Krishna. If you open your eyes, take a look around you, see things clearly, not blindly, being misguided by the speculators. Use your intelligence, analyze things very clearly, and you become conscious, and you will become automatically come to Krishna consciousness. You see? So any questions? How to feel the presence of Krishna while chanting? Well, the first thing is you have to understand he is present. You have to have complete faith that Krishna is present. And how do you feel his presence? If somebody is visiting you in your house, don't you honor them? Don't you respect them? Don't you serve them? Don't you acknowledge them? You do not ignore them. So, by loving service, you can feel the presence of that person. You can feel the presence of Krishna. So, you have to serve the holy name, not just chant the holy name. You have to serve the holy name. Krishna is the holy name himself. You have to serve Krishna. You offer your food to Krishna. You serve the devotees of Krishna. You surrender to the spiritual master, the representative of Krishna. In this way, by service mood, you will feel Krishna's presence. Otherwise, if you take Krishna as your order supplier, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, you will not feel his presence. You will cheat yourself the association of Krishna if you take him to supply your what you want. You will cheat yourself, that's all. You may get your job, you may get that wife or husband you're praying for, but you won't get Krishna. And what's the use of that job or husband or wife if you don't get Krishna? It's useless. Useless. Absolutely useless. Because you'll die without Krishna consciousness. And what's the use? Better to focus on Krishna, you see. Focus on Krishna. Next question. What goes on in Vaikuntha? Unadulterated blissful activities. Was the service of George Harrison the Krishna accepted as he was not initiated? Prabhupada certainly accepted his service. Actually, he wanted to get initiated, but Prabhupada said no. Prabhupada could see these Trikalagya. For some reason, Prabhupada said no. I can't say why Prabhupada said no. Maybe Prabhupada knew he wouldn't be able to keep the vows. And actually, he wasn't able to give up smoking. He died of throat cancer. He wasn't able to give up smoking. So maybe that's why Prabhupada, he knew he wouldn't be able to keep the vows. So he said no. I don't know. Prabhupada didn't say, but that's possible. Possibly the reason. Prabhupada could see he wouldn't be able to keep the vow. So this is raising a point, because Prabhupada says, unless you're initiated, Krishna, it says right there in the Nectar of Devotion, unless you're initiated, Krishna doesn't accept your service. So the devotee is trying to dig into this and understand what does this mean in all of its aspects. And that's all right to ask this question. Krishna does accept service, but not in the same way as someone who has taken shelter of a spiritual master. You see, any service done, there is benefit. So it's accepted in one sense, but not in the same way. If someone thinks, I don't want to surrender to Krishna, I just want to do some service, he doesn't get the same benefit as someone who says, okay, I want to surrender to Krishna. There's a jnana sukriti also. Someone may do some service unknowingly. You see? But there's a difference. Anyone who comes and does a little volunteer service at the temple, they all get benefit, there's no doubt. But not the same as someone who has actually given their life to Krishna, who's taken shelter of the spiritual master by initiation. It's not the same. It's a big difference. From a practical point of view, can you please tell us in terms of percentage how we devote our time to theoretical knowledge, reading Prabhupada's books, and practical service, applied knowledge? Prabhupada very clearly answered this question. He said you should be 100% absorbed in service and 100% absorbed in study. That's the answer from Prabhupada. I heard it in a lecture. 100%. So service is no excuse for not reading, and reading is no excuse for not serving. You have to do both as much as you possibly can. I am also a great disciple. Wow, I wish I was a great disciple. I'm just a servant of my senses. We have a great devotee in our midst.
Grand disciple.
It says, I am also a great disciple. G-E-R-A-T. I am also a great disciple of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that wrong to wear the cross when I'm coming to the ISKCON? I have no objection anybody wears a cross. Jesus is welcome. If Jesus personally came, we'd give him a Vyasa sign and offer him Guru Puja. He's a great Vaishnava Acharya, Prabhupada says. So I have no objection if you wear a cross to the temple. And I pray that someday I'll become a great devotee like you. Uh-huh. in continuation of my question yesterday, is it realistic to wipe out all the barbaric acts in the world? No. But you do it as much as you can. Especially in the Kali Yuga, there's always going to be demons running around, but we want that the Vaishnava culture should become predominant. That's what we want. And it will happen. Lord Krishna, does he not mention this in the world of duality, happiness and pain? Can our guru let us down? Well, if he does, he's not really a guru. A bona fide guru will never let you down. If he does, wasn't really a bona fide guru. You picked a cheater. It happens sometimes in our movement. I talked to Krishna Chandra Prabhu yesterday. Is he here today? Yeah. He got initiated by one guru who let him down. The guru fell into Maya and went completely off the track. So he took initiation from another guru. That guru also fell down, went completely off the track. And then, but he lucked out. On his third guru, he picked Giriraj Maharaj. He was in good shape after that. So you have to be careful, you see. We've had bogus gurus even in ISKCON. You know that? We had bogus gurus in ISKCON. Of course, now we have all kinds of programs to try to prevent that from happening. We have gurus have to take a course on how to be a guru. I'm certified. I took the course. I have my certificate. We have a guru training course, how to be a guru. I took it in Mayapur last. My wife also took. She's a Siksha guru. We took the guru training course. We have all kinds of things now in this kind to prevent that from happening again. You see, but that was in the early days, just after Prabhupada left, and it was a brand new thing. None of us were used to being gurus, and some people didn't do a very good job. They completely went off the track. So it does happen sometimes. And that person was not really a bona fide guru. So we have to be careful. Actually, it's your responsibility. The guru can't certify this person will never. The GBC cannot certify this person will never fall down. The GBC cannot do them. They don't have the power to do them. We certify this person is a certified. It's really up to that guru himself to either make it or not make it in Krishna consciousness. So you should be very careful to study a guru before you take initiation. It's described by our Goswami, you should study very carefully the spiritual master to see that he's actually qualified. You have to study Prabhupada's books. You have to associate with the spiritual master and see what his qualities are, what are his activities, and see that he's actually genuine. Sometimes some devotees have such awkward behavior and I try to avoid them. Will that be an offense? Well, it depends. If someone is just awkward but they're not really offensive, then you should not avoid. You know. But if someone is actually offensive, then it's better. Prabhupada recommends we avoid them, respect them from a distance. They're called devotees in the mode of ignorance. Somebody is always blaspheming other devotees or something like that, you know. It's always saying bad things about devotees. You don't want to hear that. But if someone's just kind of clumsy, you know, that they're not used to bowing down or something, and they don't know how to offer an RT, or they don't chant the Gayatri Mantra perfectly. You know, they don't have good Sanskrit pronunciation. I mean, that doesn't mean they should be avoided. You know, you've heard of Jayananda, the one who started the Ratha Yatras, the famous Jayananda. Prabhupada tried to teach him the Gayatri Mantra, and he couldn't pronounce it correctly. Prabhupada just gave up. His Sanskrit was very, very awkward. But he was one of the greatest devotees of Prabhupada's movement. He was considered a pure devotee, actually. But yet his Sanskrit was very, very awkward. So Being awkward is one thing, and being offensive is another thing. Awkward devotees are okay. We don't mind if you're awkward, but just don't be offensive. Since the guru is important, and Diksha guru is compulsory, are not all gurus in the same platform? What is the difference? Well, actually, every guru... No, actually, every devotee is on their own platform of their own advancement in Krishna consciousness. Everyone has their own level of Krishna consciousness. Some are more advanced, some are less advanced, some are more realized, some are less realized. Every guru has his, and every devotee has his own level of Krishna consciousness. We can't say everybody's on the same platform. Of course, we're all on the same platform. We're all Krishna conscious in that sense. So within that platform, some are more Krishna conscious and some are less Krishna conscious, isn't it? Does everybody have the same amount of Krishna consciousness? No. Some devotees are more Krishna conscious, some are less Krishna conscious. Even among gurus, one guru may be more Krishna conscious. But the real thing is, does he purely repeat the teachings of Srila Prabhupada? That's the criterion. Prabhupada, you know what Prabhupada said about himself? He says, I'm not Krishna conscious. He says, I am not. He says, I am imperfect. But my perfection is I'm presenting what I've received from the perfect. So, that's the real criterion. Is this person purely presenting the message of Krishna? Not, is he seeing Krishna eye to eye at every minute? No. Is he purely presenting the message coming down the parampara? That's the criterion by which to understand. And in that sense, any guru is doing that, they're all on the same platform. What education and training should we give to our child so that their mind is fixed in Krishna consciousness? Well, you have to become purely fixed in Krishna consciousness yourself. And the best thing is train them at home, homeschooling. Instead of sending them to the slaughterhouse for education, public schools. Train them at home. Is that legal here in this country? You can do homeschooling? Is that legal? Anybody know? In America, it's not legal? Illegal here? You can't homeschool? It's legal?
It's not really legal. I mean, it's not done here.
It's not done.
So it's not.
No one's never done it before. In America, it's a very standard thing. Many Christians do it. And they have formulated curriculums. You can go on the internet and buy a homeschooling kit to take your kid all the way from first grade to high school graduation at home. All the subject matter is there. You can get the kit, and it's certified and it's recognized by the authorities. One of our devotees in Boise, Idaho, she had her son. His name was Ravi Gupta. And his little brother got the same thing. She homeschooled him all the way through. Instead of going to work, she stayed at home, and she gave schooling to the boys. And by the age of 13, he had finished all the studies, and he went to the university at the age of 13 and excelled in the university at age 13. And you know what she used to teach him how to read instead of Tom, Dick, and Harry, whatever they call it? They learned how to read on the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how the boy learned how to read. That was his primer for reading, Bhagavatam. And now he's a Sanskrit professor, a big PhD professor, doctor, I forget what his initiated name is now. He's tenured at some big university somewhere in the U.S., and he also teaches at Bhaktivedanta College, Sanskrit at Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh. The best thing is if you can find a way to homeschool them or have a start your own school for the kids instead of sending them out to the slaughterhouse to be butchered, psychologically or philosophically butchered by these rascal teachers who have no Krishna consciousness. That's the best thing. But if you can't do that, then you have to train them very nicely at home. Protect them. They have to learn, bring them to the temple and sit, teach them to sit and hear the lectures. Because if they don't sit and hear from the devotees who are lecturing at the temple, who will they first sit and hear classes from? The karmis. If you just let them run and play out in the yard, you don't teach them to sit and hear the lectures, you're killing them. You're killing them. Because that means the first teacher they will sit and hear from are the karmis. You have to teach them to sit and hear the lectures. You hold them in your lap from the babyhood. You keep them in your lap and teach them to hear the lectures. So they become addicted to Krishna Katha. They're very eager. Oh, there's Krishna Katha. Let me hear. You see, you have to teach your children how to relish Krishna Katha. Not that just, you know, some little show that they memorize some verses and get a certificate and they stand up and everybody applauds and they don't even know what it means. No. You have to train the kids to get a taste for hearing. They want to go on hearing and hearing. One lecture, another lecture, they love hearing. If they go to a house and the other kids are playing television, they have no interest in television, you see. That's the way to train them. How can we become free from envy and material conform? Well, you have to replace envy with love. That's all. Your heart can't be empty. The Mayavadis want to make their heart empty, but that's artificial. You cannot make your heart empty. If you don't have love in your heart, you'll have envy in your heart. So what if I'm envious of you? What will I do to get free of my envy? I have to learn how to love you. That's all. If you have envy, replace it with love. Shri Shri Radha Golokananda ki jai. How can we create a natural loving relationship with other devotees? By service. Serve them as much as possible. Then love will come. Who is a devotee? Devotee means one who is devoted to Krishna. That's a devotee. How powerful is the Maha Mantra? The Maha Mantra is unlimitedly powerful. One pure utterance of Hare Krishna mantra can destroy more sinful activities than you can commit in millions and billions of lifetimes. That's how powerful it is. So try to chant purely the holy name without any desire of food or result. My kids are taking their finals today, so I'll chant some extra rounds for my kids. Don't chant like them. That's nonsense. If you want your kids to do well in the finals, you have them steady hard. Not that you chance some extra rounds during the finals. It's nonsense. You're trying to use the holy name for your own benefit. You'll never develop love of God if you do that. It's opera. Sometimes, or most of the time, we see that the mentality is to chant the holy name, eat a lot of prasadam, but not to serve the devotees in the temple. How can we change this mentality? Well, the fact that you're inquiring like this is a good sign. It means you understand it's not good to just be interested in serving my senses and not serving the temple. Thing is, why serve the temple then, one could ask? Why can't I just be Krishna conscious at home? Why even have a temple? I just serve at home. Why have to come here, have to drive so far across the town? I'll just worship at home. The fact is, we're very weak. We are not very strong individually. We're very weak. We need each other. The fact is, we're caught up in material desires. We're Kanishta Adhikaris. Let's face the reality. We're not advanced devotees. We need each other to be strong in Krishna consciousness. We need each other. So that's why we have to have a temple. It's a place we come together. We serve the deities very nicely. So the point is, the more you can come to the temple and render service, the more you become strong in Krishna consciousness. The more you try to stay aloof and separate, the more you become weak. If you're weak in Krishna consciousness, you're not going to be very happy. It means you'll be pulled away by material desires. Instead of coming for Bhagavatam, you watch a TV show, some mundane television program. You see what I'm saying? And you pollute your mind. We need these temples because we're diseased, we're sick. These are hospitals that cure us of our disease. And we need to make the temple very attractive and very powerful place of bhakti shakti, that it can purify the whole area around the temple. The whole town around the temple can become purified. This is our preaching mission. Not only for us, but it's for the sake of the people in general, the temple has to be there. How many people will be attracted to come to your house to worship Krishna, you see? You have a nice temple, will attract that more and more people want to come. So the temple is a very vital thing. Prabhupada wanted temples everywhere. And worship in your home also, but not... Prabhupada did not want devotees to have deities at home so they wouldn't worship the deity of the temple. He was against deity worship at home. Of course, you're at a distance, that's another thing. But the best, instead of worshiping deities at home, come here and worship these deities. That was Prabhupada's idea. Or keep your standard very simple at home. So it doesn't hold you back from worshiping here. Of course, Gaura-Nitai deities, that's a good standard. If you want to have deities, Gaura-Nitai are very good because you can always just leave them and come here and it's okay. Yeah.
Would you say that just living at home and worshipping deities at home and not coming to the temple would be like a self-centered service?
Yeah. I know Tamal Krishna Maharaj made a comparison one time. He says when you offer to your deity at home, you get to keep it. When you offer to the deity of the temple, you get to give it up. Deity at home, let you get to keep it. The deity at home takes it, wherever you offer, he takes it away. So that's more surrendered, you see. When you offer the deity of the temple, now it's gone. Now you don't have it anymore. And then at home, you get to keep it. So that way, you maintain a self-centered mentality, just worshiping at home. Keep a self-centered mentality. But the deed of the temple takes everything away. You see? So the temple, we need the temple. The temple is very important, worshiping in the temple. But this is not to say you shouldn't worship at home. When you cannot come to the temple, you should worship at home. But the more you come to the temple and worship, that is your great benefit. Just like we're staying, they worship very nicely. Gaura-Nitai at home is very nice. So we're not to discourage that. At the same time, as much as possible, worship here at the temple. Whatever home worship you're doing, that should not stop you from worshiping here. That should be to fill in when you're not able to worship here. Is that clear? That's for filling in when it's not practical to come here. But you should come here as much as you possibly can. How many devotees do you have in this community or in this area with the radius of the temple? How many devotees? We'll see the Sunday feast. How many come for the morning program? Very small number. We need to increase. The Sunday feast is basically packed, isn't it? Why are they not coming for Bhagavatam? Are they studying Bhagavatam at home? I doubt it. You see my point? This place should be packed for Bhagavatam, especially on weekends when they're not going to work. Saturday and Sunday, this place should be packed from Bhagavatam. What are they doing? They're sleeping? What are they doing? Vedic culture means you rise like 4 in the morning. That's Vedic culture. We have to practice Vedic culture, and you see. You all are to be congratulated. You all have come. You are the leaders. You are the advanced devotees. You see, you have come. So let everyone else now come. Of course, now there's a visiting spiritual master. What about on a regular Saturday? Maybe less attendance. I can't say I'm not here. I'm not here when a guru is not here because I'm a guru. I don't know, but a guru is not here. If you have if this many people are coming, I would think probably you have less coming when there's no guru here. You see, it's very important. We all come together, not just for the Sunday feast once a week. This place should not be only. This place should be filled packed with devotees every day as much as possible. Especially those who live nearby, you see, and then within 5 or 10 miles of the temple. If someone lives an hour away, that's another thing. Is it? But even then, why not come an hour once a week or twice a week? The more we come together, the more we become powerful in Krishna consciousness. We should take every opportunity to come together as the ISKCON family as much as we possibly can. Every day, as much as possible, come together as the ISKCON family. Otherwise, we're just lost in the material nature. That's all. Wandering around, bewildered. We have a mission to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So we have to come together to get strength. Okay. Our time is up. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.